Lisa and Sumner Bemis shared mutual friends. They met at a bar during a Penguins game in 1999. She was intrigued by his unusual name.
And the fact that he had a Camaro. And I love muscle cars, so it worked.
Less than 3 years later, they were married. After 9/11, Sumner was deployed as part of the National Guard and was in Iraq from 2005 through 2006. When he returned, Lisa was overjoyed to have him back. But she says he was a different person.
My heart was broken because I don't know how to explain it. It was so sad that the man that I loved and cherished was gone. I knew that he was going through something that I wasn't with him with. It's so hard to explain.
The changes were apparent in many ways. The fear of hitting improvised explosive devices or IEDs when he was driving. An inability to communicate effectively with Lisa, and frustration with the seemingly trivial tribulations of civilian life.
I was responsible for $1 million of equipment, responsible for many lives. One of the hard parts for me to come back to is now I go back into my regular job and I'm low on the totem pole. Not a boss, I'm just a journeyman, carpenter.
He also had trouble sleeping. In Iraq, Sumner's men were responsible for clearing IEDs. His vehicle was hit 4 times by the devices. He was shot at on multiple occasions. He says there was no one incident that triggered PTSD. Rather, it was the result of living in a constant state of stress. When he returned to the States, his sleeping mind imagined he was still overseas, or that the war had come to him in his North Hills home.
When I came back, I pushed her out of bed, told her there was incoming. I pushed her out of bed, told her to fire back. When I dream, it's of Iraq or it's of Iraqis here. I could be here at the house, barricading the house. That was the most recent one that I remember.
Dr. Ann Germain says Sumner's sleep habits are not uncommon for those who have PTSD. Germain is an associate professor of psychiatry and psychology at the University of Pittsburgh.
The parts of your brains that, when you're awake, detect threats in your environment, and the parts of the brain that will decide what actions you need to take when one of these threats are detected are not asleep in people with PTSD.
It's complicated, but basically Germain says threat circuits involve 3 big regions of the brain. The amygdala, which functions like the eye of the brain and lets you know if something's going on. The hippocampus, which is the memory center that decides if that something is dangerous or not. And the medial frontal cortex that decides what actions need to be taken. For those with PTSD, the system can be broken. The amygdala sees everything as a potential threat, the hippocampus can't turn off the amygdala, and the prefrontal cortex is trying so hard to shut it all down, it becomes exhausted.
So you have this threat detection center that is always on red alert.
But there are effective solutions, both pharmaceutical and psychological, to this constant state of hypervigilance. The therapeutic treatment entails training the brain to think of an alternate set of images when it's going to sleep. Germain says bad dreams often begin the same way.
What we'll ask them to do is to change that dream in any way they want and to mentally practice dreams that your brain could go to instead of going back to memories that are in the database and that are kind of stuck.
It takes work. Subjects are expected to practice 2 or 3 times a day for 1 or 2 minutes at a time. Germain says common alternative images include those of women in bikinis, going fishing, and sharing a joke among peers. After a while, she says the brain has a new set of scenarios it could go to, what she calls the path of least resistance, and the shift occurs within weeks.
Most people will see major changes in the frequency of their nightmares, the intensity of the dreams that they have. Sometimes they even end up dreaming of what they practice. Most of the time they just end up sleeping through the night and they don't even bother thinking about their dreams when they wake up in the morning.
The pharmaceutical option for dealing with bad dreams involves a drug called prazosin, which blocks receptors in the brain. This helps cut off the message that something bad is happening. Germain says having 2 effective options is key. Some people are turned off by the idea of medication. Others don't like therapeutic treatments. Sumner Bemis is not using either option. He says he's learned to cope and worries that messing with his formula would be a step backward.
When I first came back, I don't wish that upon anybody. I don't. I'm worried that if I go ahead and do some of that, like, or trigger something, you know, now I'm back into that mentality, and I don't want.
He says it's bearable now. It's manageable. Prompted to recall the last time he got a good night's sleep, Sumner remembers an all-inclusive beach vacation he and Lisa took to the Dominican Republic. Smiling, he says he was out cold. I'm Larkin Page Jacobs, 90.5 WESA News.